Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class learning. Thank you, everyone, for continuing to join us and being mechazek this shir, Mika and Chayisha. Every Erev Shabbos, we get together as a group, as a chabura, to learn Torah together. I want to thank Alice Marks and family for sponsoring tonight's shir so generously. And Baruch Hashem, it's so nice. The sponsor tonight is in honor of a simcha. We shall all be zochet to sponsor Torah in honor of a simcha v'shavach and hodah to Kosh Baruch Hu for the smachod and the nachas in our life. It is in honor of the bar mitzvah of Alice's grandson, Amiel Dov. May he continue to grow in Torah and ma'isim tovim and bring you and your family a lot of nachas. We shall richos yamim and shanim, not only to see nachas from Amiel Dov, and I know, but from your whole family. And it's really very special to be Baruch Hashem dedicating a shir in honor of Besuros Tovus and a Simcha. So it's my honor and pleasure, and we thank you very much. I wish you a mazel tov. It's also appropriate to tonight's topic because we're going to be continuing with the Mishnah that we began. So I'm going to screen share and just remind us all of the Mishnah that we are learning, which I prepared right here. Could you see my screen? Miriam Goodman, you're always very helpful. Whenever I could see you and give me an emphatic yes, so there's no doubt if you could see my screen. So we are continuing our study of Hillel, not his personality and his life this evening, but rather we have begun a new Mishnah. For the past 2 weeks, we discussed the beginning of the Mishnah, and now we're moving on to the next teachings. So Hillel, Hu Haya Omer, referring to Hillel, we're in Parak Alf Mishnah Yud Gimel of Pirkei Avos. And we spent 2 weeks talking about Naged Shema, Aved Shemei. He who runs after his name loses his name. Again, if anyone is joining us tonight for the first time, these shiurim are on Mayu Torah. So if you want to go back 2 weeks, we spent talking about he who runs after the name loses the name. Tonight we are moving on. So Hillel says, Naged Shema, Aved Shemei. Udilo Mosif, he who does not add, Yasef. If one does not add, he will cause it to cease. Udilo Yaleif, and he who does not study, Kitala Chayav, is deserving of death. And this is the part of the Mishnah we will be discussing today. I'm going to stop screen sharing, but I'm just going to show it to you again. Udilo Mosif, oh, I didn't mean to do that. It doesn't matter. You could still speak. Udilo Mosif, he who does not add, Yasef, it will be lost. Udilo Yaleif, and he who does not study, Kitala Chayav, is Chayav Misa, is obligated to death. So this is what we are going to be discussing tonight. And of course, we are talking about the Indian of Limud Torah. So I thought how interesting it is that tonight, and Alice booked this sponsorship a couple of months ago and didn't even realize that tonight we would be talking about the Indian of Limud Torah and also at least increasing our limit of Torah, ensuring that we do not lose Torah, how appropriate it is for a bar mitzvah boy as he comes into the age of Torah mitzvos, the all-encompassing ideal of having a life of Torah. So I will begin by quoting Rav Shamsham Fal Hirsch's Pshat, Udila Mosif Yasef, he who does not increase, meaning increase knowledge, actually decreases knowledge. Udilo Yalif, and he who does not study, Kitala Chayav, is Chayav Misa. So Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch, in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, says as follows: there is one field in which no one should ever feel he has done enough. There is one field where we should feel we have never done enough, and that is the study. So that's Limud Torah and practical observance. When it comes to Limud HaTorah, when it comes to learning, and when it comes to practical observance, doing mitzvos, we should never feel content with where we are in life. I saw something interesting. I don't know. I never saw it brought down anywhere. Or maybe that's why Torah is given on a mountain. There's many reasons why Torah is given in a desert. Maybe that's why Torah is dafka given on a mountain. Why'd it have to be on a mountain? It could have been, I don't know, on the grasslands and the plain and flat valley. A mountain is indicative of the need to climb. It's this week's precious Yisro. So in a mountain, we're always climbing. There's a mountain climber, someone's trying to climb. So maybe that's the message of Torah on a mountain. We should always be viewing ourselves as climbing up the slope, trying to reach the peak, always striving to reach a higher height. So Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch says, in this one field of study, Limud Torah, and practical observance, Asiyas HaMitzvos, you should never be complacent. No matter how old we are, how much we have already done, or how little we have done, we should always know there is more to do. He who stands still is actually regressing. Because that's what the Mishnah says. Udilo Mosif, he who does not add, Yasef will decrease. He who does not add. So what's wrong with standing still? No, the mission says he who does not add, he who is not climbing higher on the slopes of Har Sinai is actually regressing. And it goes back to the old mashal. I know you all heard it. And actually, a couple months ago, I was listening to share by Rabbi Zev Lev Shlita, and I even heard Rabbi Zev Lev tell over the mashal of life, of Avodas Hashem, Limud Torah, being like an escalator. You're either going up or you're going down. There's no such thing as standing in place. So, Udila Mosif, he who is not adding, he who is not ascending, he who is not climbing up to Torah, Yasef will regress and will decrease. Says Rav Hirsch, he who does not study is not worthy of life. Like the Mishnah continues, he who does not study is chayiv misa. Why he who does not study is not worthy of life? He neglects to acquaint himself with the tasks for which he was given life. What are we here for in the first place, if not to learn Torah and do God's commandments? This week's parasha is Parashas Yisrael. Kol Asher Dibra Hashem said, the people na'asa, we were just going to do, and that is why we are here. We must acquire the skills and knowledge necessary for fulfillment. So we can't say we don't know. We can't say we don't have the skills to study. We can't say we don't have a teacher to teach us. We must go out and strive to always be growing, always acquiring, always learning, because like the escalator, you're either going up or you're going down. There's no such thing as standing in the middle. That's what Rav Hirsch says. He who stands still on the path of Torah is not still. He is actually regressing. Certainly, and it's interesting because it's Hillel who teaches us this, and now he refers back to part of Hillel's life that we discussed in depth. Certainly, there has never been one more fully within the rights to make such a statement and such a teaching to us as Hillel. According to the Gemara, Maseches Yuma, and we learned this together, 35b, Hillel was so poor that he earned no more than one tarpek a day in labor. Of this, he gave half to the Shomer at the Beit HaTalmud, the house of studies, and an admission fee. The other half he gave for the needs of his family. One day, he couldn't find work. I'm quoting Rav Hirsch. So he couldn't pay the doorkeeper, and this is his commentary to this Mishnah. So if anyone could tell us that he who does not increase will lose, and he who does not study is deserving of death, is Hillel, because that's how Hillel always lived his own life. It came to pass one day he could find no work, and hence he could not pay the doorkeeper. He lay down atop the skylight on the roof of the house of study, and he listened to his teacher, Shmaya and Avtalion, all night long. I was just thinking also that the name Hillel is the same name as Hallel, to praise. One who is constantly seeking to go higher in his Avodas Hashem, one who is always making sure he is not regressing but ascending upward, that's the greatest praise to the Ribono Shel Olam. The greatest Hallel to the Ribono Shel Olam is that we're always striving to grow higher in our lives. We are not standing still, because standing still in Avodas Hashem actually means regression. Another Shir, another Vort, another Dvar Torah, another Kapitel of Tehillim. And surely we know that from our own lives. We may not be Mechuyiv to be Koveya Itim LaTorah. Many of us are Koveya Itim LaTorah, not because we're Mitzuvah, but because we are. And if you don't have the learning, it causes an automatic regression. And Hillel stayed by that skylight to hear the words from Shmaya and Avtalion all night long. The next morning, it was dark in the house of study. When some men investigated the cause, they found Hillel buried under the snow. And they said, Hillel mechayev aniyim. Hillel obligates the poor. If a man pleads poverty and economic worries as an excuse for not studying, let him be reminded of Hillel. So Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch, without talking about the elevator, escalator, mashal, reminds us of this truism. If one is standing still on the path of Torah and mitzvos, he is actually regressing. Therefore, udula mosif, if you don't constantly add to your avodas Hashem, to your ruchnis, if you're not constantly striving to reach a higher level on the mountain, yasef, you will decrease your knowledge, and he who does not learn is chayiv misa. I want to share with you a beautiful story. I'm almost finished the biography of Mr. Irving Bunim, Zichrono Levracha. I recommended it in so many classes. I really love it. I wonder if anybody actually is reading it along with me. It's amazing. So I want to share a beautiful story about the power of Torah with you. I actually quoted this in my written Torah post this week. I don't know if anybody had the opportunity yet to see it or read it, but Mr. Irving Bunim, Zichrono Levracha, was a community Askan. He was the right-hand man of Rav Aaron Kotler. He worked to promote Chinuch Atzmai schools in Eretz Yisrael. He worked for Torah Masorah. He worked to help build Lakewood. He worked to build Jewry in America after the war. He once visited Springfield, Massachusetts Bunim once visited Springfield, Massachusetts to try to save its day school. community leaders convened that evening at 3 o'clock in the morning with the group at an impasse. Bunim wearily asked for the group's attention. Quote, "You ask about the strength of the day school," he said gently, also so appropriate for a bar mitzvah boy. "I want to answer by telling you the story of the lion and the thrush." So the thrush is a kind of bird. When I read this, my son was with me. I said, could you just look up online? I figured it's a bird, but a thrush is a kind of bird that emanates a beautiful song. One day, a little thrush challenged a great lion, the king of the beasts. And the thrush said, "My voice can reverberate farther than your voice." The lion became enraged and the lion bellowed, "How dare you challenge me, the lion, the king of the animals, the king of the beasts, the king of the forest?" The lion summoned all the animals to judge the contest. Whose voice reverberates farther? When all the animals arrived, the lion emitted a tremendous roar and it traveled for 50 miles. The thrush's sweet voice followed. The thrush's song carried 3,000 miles. As the thrush smiled, the lion stared in wonder. How was it that a little thrush with her little song carried 3,000 miles and the lion's only 50 miles? All of the animals were perplexed. A lowly thrush has a voice so strong, it carries 60 times greater than a grand lion. Then Bunim told those assembled, they figured it out. When the thrush sang her song, every succeeding thrush relayed the sweet melody around the world. The entire host of thrushes was singing the same beautiful song. When the lion roared, only one lion roared. When the thrush sang her song, all the other thrushes sang the song too. "Do you see," said Bunim to the community leaders in Springfield, Massachusetts, "there are organizations in Jewish life that might come and go like the roar of the lion. But day schools, yeshivos, limud ha-Torah, always ascending higher in our Avodas Hashem, that's like a thrush. The song of Torah is relayed across the map and relayed through the generations from a single child, from a single school, I will say, from a single person striving to reach higher heights up the mountain, from all of us climbing higher. That sweet sound of Torah leads to a symphony of Torah that is heard around the world." The school in Springfield, Massachusetts stayed open in regard to Bunim's plea. But one who does not add is actually regressing. I'm going to quote from the Bartanur now and his commentary to the Mishnah. And the Bartanur tells us as follows. Udila mosif, he who does not add to his Torah learning, Misha eino mosif alimudo. So the Bartanur says, what does it mean, Udila mosif? He who does not add, because it's cryptic, he who does not add what? He who does not add another dessert to a Shabbos meal, he who does not add another side dish to the Shabbos meal, he who does not add another sweater to his closet. It just says, Udila mosif yasef. He who does not add will cease, will lose, will regress. Udila mosif misha einu mosif alimudo. He who does not add to his learning. And it's so relevant to us that every time in our lives, there's always so much to learn. And when the wellsprings of Torah, when the sweet sound of the thrush is heard around the world, we realize how much there is to learn, but we have to want to learn. And we have to be equipped, and we have to want to grow in our Avodas Hashem. And if not, we're regressing. Yasef, what does it mean? He who does not add will cease. Yasuf mipiv, important. Masha kvar lamad. V'yishkach Talmudo. He who is not constantly striving to add, Yasuf mipiv mashakvar lamad, will cease, will lose from his mouth what he already learned. V'yishkach Talmudo, and he will forget his Torah learning. If we're not chazering, then why every year do we learn Parsha with Rashi? I learned this already. Last year and the year before, and the year before, and the year before. Why am I learning again? Maybe you learn this Mishnah again, a different venue. Why are you learning this Mishnah again? If we're not constantly learning and constantly adding, it will be removed from our mouths what we already learned, and we will forget our learning. So it's also about a constant reinforcement. The Yesh, and interestingly, says the Bartanur, Shagarsin Ye Asaif, there are some who read this as Ye Asaif, Udala Mosif, if you don't add Ye Asaif, when do we see Ye Asaif used in Chumash? Yeah, el amav. What does it mean, Yasef el amav? Who remembers? Will be brought into his people as a metaphor for what? What did you say, Evelyn Oka? I could see your lips. Oh, exactly right. Dying. Klomar ye asef el amav v'yamis blo ito. The Bartuner goes so far as to say is that some say udela yasef, he who does not add to his limud of Torah, like he said, ye asef is a metaphor in Chumash for death. Klomar ye asef el amav, meaning he will be gathered into his people, which is a euphemism for death, v'yamus below ito. He will die before his time, because if a person is here to learn, so if a person is not constantly learning and doing, then what's the point of being here? Then they're already putting themselves on the path of maves. Udala yaleif kitala chayav, and he who does not increase the learning is chayav misa, kasha midilo mosif. It's even harsher than one who is not adding. Hilkach kitala chayav. It could be that a person brings himself to the place where he is actually chayav misa for not involving himself in limud haTorah. So we see our whole purpose here is limud haTorah. Our whole purpose here is to come closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Our whole purpose here is to increase our knowledge so that we may do. And if we do not, we bring death upon ourselves. Well, first of all, we will cause ourselves to forget what we learned if we don't constantly ensconce ourselves in the environment of Torah and make sure we're climbing up the mountain, Har Sinai. It wasn't just Bemidbar Sinai. It wasn't in the valley, Emek Sinai. It was Har Sinai, because a person must always strive to climb upward. There's a very beautiful Gemara, Maseches Menachos, Tzadi Tesh, Amud Beis. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Menachos, 99b, how important is Torah learning? How crucial is it to our lives? And it's funny, I'm telling you, Alice booked this night like a month and a half ago. And I did not know a month and a half ago what I was going to be teaching. I had no idea it would be a shiur on the importance of Limud HaTorah and always increasing. But I find it amazing how Hashem always arranges it, that whatever the sponsorship is for, that mamish is so shayach and so relevant. What are our hopes for our children as they embark on the path of Torah and Mitzvos, to always be on the path of Torah and Mitzvos? The Gemara tells us in Maseches Menachos, Tzadi Tash Amma Beis, 99b, Sha'al Ben Dama, Ben Achoso Shel Rabbi Yishmael. Ben Dama was the son, Ben Achoso, the son of the sister of Rabbi Yishmael. That's a fancy way of saying Rabbi Yishmael's nephew. But Dama was the son of the sister of Rabbi Yishmael. Sha'al ben Dama, ben Achoso Shel Rabbi Yishmael, as Rabbi Yishmael, so ben Dama comes, and he asks his uncle, Rabbi Yishmael, a question. Kigon ani, like me, said ben Dama, shalamadati kol Torah kulo. Maybe one thinks that after they learned kol Torah kulo, they do not have the obligation to learn anymore. Maybe this Mishnah does not apply. Udela yosef yasef. He who does not increase will decrease, will lose, will regress. But maybe it doesn't apply to me. I'm not talking about Mimi Chahar, obviously. But someone who learned kol Torah kulo, do I still have to learn Torah? It can't be that I'm going to forget, like we saw in the Bar Tanura. It can't be I'm going to regress, like Rosh Hashanah follower says. I know Kol Torah Kula. Kigon ani shalamadati Kol Torah Kula. Someone like me, I learned all of Torah. Mahu lomar chachma sivanis. What is the law with my regard? What is the law with me regarding studying Greek knowledge? Can I go study chachma sivanis, the knowledge of the Greeks? Because I have learned all of Torah already. So I am sure that I have reached the apex of the mountain. I don't have any farther to go. I will never plateau. I will certainly never regress. Kara alav hamikra zeh. So how did Rabbi Yishmael answer his nephew? He called upon him the following verse. He quoted a verse from Sefer Yehoshua. And the verse says, Lo yamush sefer ha-Torah hazeh mipicha. The words of this Torah should not move from your mouth. V'hagisa bo yamam v'layla. You should contemplate. You should study. You should be involved in Torah by day and by night. So Ben Dama comes and he asks Rabbi Yishmael, his uncle, listen, I know kol Torah kulo. So this Mishnah doesn't apply to me. So can I go study chachma sivanis? So his uncle said to him, he didn't answer, he said, by quoting a pasuk, Lo yamush sefer Torah zemipicha, v'igisa bo yamam v'layla. This sefer Torah, the words of these divrei Torah, should not leave your mouth. You should contemplate them day and night. And then Rabbi Yishmael says to his nephew, Tsei ubedok, go out and check. Sha'a she'enu lo min hayam v'lo min halayla. If you find me a time, said Rabbi Yishmael to his nephew Ben Dama, that's not from the day and not from the night, then you could go learn chachma sivanis. What does that mean? Find me a time that's not part of the day and not part of the night. What's the Kunz, what's the answer? There is no time that's not day or night. It's either day or it's night. And Rashi on the Gemara says, Sei ubedok. Rashi says, Davar shelo yeba olam. This is a matter that will never be, says Rashi on the Gemara. You can never find a time that's not part of the 24-hour period of day or night. It's either here or there. So Rabbi Yishmael said to his nephew, Sei ubedok, go out and check. Sha'a she'en olam min hayom velo min halayla. Can you find a time that's not from the day and not from the night? And like Rashi says, you're never going to find such a thing in the world. Davar shelo yeba olam. Then ulamod bochachmas yivanis. If you can find this time that's not part of day and not part of night, then you could go learn chachmas yivanis. So the answer was basically bekitzer. There's no time to learn chachmas yivanis because you have to be involved in a life of Torah study all the time, says the Gemara. And it's something that we have to apply to our lives, and it's something that we have to work on, striving to always grow higher, and then instill that, of course, in our children. Because like the thrush, the sound of Torah is picked up by the next. And by the next, and by the next person, and all the people that we have a ripple effect on. My son was just telling us tonight at dinner that one of his co-workers is a young man, and he started this martial arts program for, I don't know if it's public school, it's not religion, it's public school kids, not religious kids, not yet observant children, Jewish children, but they get together, and through this martial arts program, he brings them, it's really Kiruv, and he brings them closer to Torah, and they have sometimes fila gatherings, and sometimes they have learning, and it's a way to bring them closer. And when we can always be striving to grow upwards for ourselves and for our children, the song of Torah will be heard around the world. I'm going to quote from the biography of Rav Nassan Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Levracha, the previous Rosh Hashiva of Yeshir Mir Yerushalayim, one of our Gedolei Olam, who was nifter too young. He was in his 50s, I believe, due to his severe Parkinson's that he suffered from. In 1975, they call him Yaakov, it's in parentheses, an 18-year-old boy, and Rav Nassan Tzvi Finkel was Mamish Gaon Olam, and he refused, actually, in his case, to take medication, it says in the book for his Parkinson's, because he was afraid it would dull his memory and impair his ability to always be adding to his Torah. In 1975, Yaakov, an 18-year-old boy, traveled from America to join Yeshiva Smir. He arrived before Sukkot, he spent time in the yeshiva dormitory, and he promptly contracted the flu. After Sukkot, he took his faher, which turned into somewhat of a disaster. The members of the Hanhala were unimpressed, and though he didn't tell Yaakov he couldn't join the yeshiva, he definitely did not seem interested in having him there. Yaakov left in tears. He had a problem. His plane ticket has been subsidized. Remember, it was 1975. Things were very different. He couldn't just go back to America. His plane ticket was subsidized by a loan from the Jewish agency. It would be waived if he did not remain in Eretz Yisrael, and he cannot repay the loan. Suddenly, he remembered, before he left for Eretz Yisrael, a younger man, learning with him in Yeshiva New York, gave him a letter. As soon as you get to the mirror, this was in 1975, as soon as you get to the mirror, he said to Yaakov, please find Nassan Tzvi Finkel. Everyone there knows him. When you find him, give him this letter. It's very important, so try to make it your priority. Yaakov walked into the Beis Medrash after having the flu, and the Feher was a disaster, and realizing he can't just go back to the United States. He walked into the Beis Medrash, and he asked someone, where is Nassan Tzvi Finkel? He approached Rav Nassan Tzvi, who greeted him with a friendly smile and shook his hand warmly. Yaakov said, I was asked to deliver a letter to you. Rav Nassan Tzvi opened the letter, continuing to hold Yaakov's hand while he read it. Thank you so much for bringing this, said Rav Nassan Tzvi. It's very important. What did you say your name was? Yaakov said his name, and Rav Nassan Tzvi said, are you new here? Yaakov said, yes. Do you have where to sleep? Well, for now, I have the dorm room. Do you have chavrusas? No. Well, said Rav Nassan Tzvi, I don't have a first Seder chavrusa. Would you like to learn with me? And Rav Nassan Tzvi was famous for, notorious in a very complimentary and positive way for having chavrusa shaft with anyone who would ask him. Well, said Rav Nassan Tzvi, I don't have a first Seder chavrusa. Would you like to learn with me? I guess so, said Yaakov, not realizing he was talking to one of the finest Talmidei Chachamim in the Mir and the son-in-law of Rav Benish Finkel, the Rosh Hashiva. I don't have anyone else, he said. Thus began one of the hundreds of chavrusha shafts Rav Nassan Tzvi would have in his life, not necessarily with, quote, the cream of the crop of the Mir, but with anyone who wanted to learn with him. Here you have a Adam Gadol, on the path himself, who was always climbing, who realized the imperative of making sure that others around him are also always climbing upward, because if we're not going up, we are regressing. I'm now going to quote from Mr. Irving Bunim, Ethics from Sinai. The reason somebody even gave me that biography for Hanukkah, she said, she read and she found it fascinating, and she said, you know, I listen to your Pirkei Avos Shiurim online, and you're often quoting from Mr. Irving Bunim's teachings, so I thought you would be interested in the biography. So now, Baruch Hashem, I have the biography, which is fascinating, and the set on Pirkei Avos, put up by Feldheim, and I recommend both. So, Mr. Irving Bunim, in his commentary, Ethics from Sinai, on this Mishnah, the part of the Mishnah we're learning, Udelo Masif Yasef, one who does not increase, oh, this is how it's translated here, interesting, in Feldheim. One who does not increase decimates. So one who does not increase his Torah knowledge decimates. So it's not just you don't add more. You destroy, like we saw in the Bar Tanura, what you had previously. It's not like riding a bike. If you rode a bike, you could not practice for a year, you could get on the bike, you're going to know how to ride a bike. Not so Torah learning. You can always come back to it. But we're going to become, says the Bartuner, weaker and weaker, Rechman Hatzan, if we don't keep climbing. It's a really good muscle with mountain climbing. If you get out of shape from climbing the mountain, you have to retrain yourself to go back up the slopes. It's not so easy. You're going to forget. Your body's not going to be acclimated. So therefore, Feldheim translates it, Udala Mosif Yasef, one who does not increase Torah knowledge decimates it. Udala Yalef Ketala Chayav, and one who does not study Torah deserves death. So Mr. Irving Bunim, in his commentary, Ethics from Sinai, teaches a man's knowledge must keep step with his general development. It is considered an achievement when a one-year-old child speaks. We're very excited when the child says the first word meaningfully. Wow, what an achievement. But we will hardly admire the 12-year-old child who speaks on the same, we're not talking about Rechman Hatzan, children of special needs, please. Normal developing children. We won't be astonished and compliment the 12-year-old child if he speaks the same way he spoke when he was 1 year old. If he has not progressed since the age of one, it is a case of arrested development. Our tafkid here is to grow in age each day, and so too to grow in spirituality each day. The normal person must always be growing in terms of his experiences and his limud and his asiyas and mitzvahs in life. If his knowledge of Torah does not keep pace and does not increase, then he is actually retrogressing. The Gemara says, and I'm quoting from Mr. Irving Bunim, the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, if you desert the Torah for one day, it will desert you for 2 days. So you think you're just leaving it for one day, but you don't, you know, it's an English expression. One step forward, is that what it is? One step forward, 2 steps back. We think, I don't think that works. If you desert the Torah for 1 day, you think you're losing out on 1 day. You're not. You're losing out on 2 days because you're actually going backwards. Consider two men standing back to back, says Mr. Irving Bunim. One walks 1 block east. He only walked 1 block. Listen carefully, it's a good mashal. The other one walks 1, 2 steps forward, 1 step back. Thank you, I said it wrong. Consider two men standing back to back. One walks 1 block east, he walked 1 block. The other one walks 1 block west, he also walked 1 block. Yet, although each walked only 1 block, these two individuals are now 2 blocks away from each other. Similarly, there are two separate factors which tend to weaken our grasp of Torah. When we do not, one, reinforce our appreciation of Torah, so we must constantly be reinforcing. You should never say, I learned this Svartar already. I learned this Rashi already. I learned this Pasuk already. I heard this Var. No, you didn't. There's always something new, and even if you don't glean new insights, you're reinforcing what you learned. When we do not reinforce our appreciation of Torah, negative forces constantly besiege us, which strive to undermine our loyalty to Torah. There is so much schmutz in the world that surrounds us that if we are not involved in climbing upward, Rachman al-Tzan, we're going to fall down. Sometimes I think to myself, I really feel bad for people who don't take the time to come to Ashir. They don't know what they're missing. And I'm saying it care. I know it sounds, I'm not talking about myself. Any teacher, any magister, any person that speaks to you, pun intended. find them. Because if you don't find that grasp of Torah, if you don't hold on to it, and even though women do not have a chiyuv in limud Torah, the way men do, we all know that we have to grow in ruchnius, we're all obligated in mitzvos, and it's the connection to Torah that keeps pulling us upward. And if we don't make the time, we don't find the inspiration, be it an author, a rav, a teacher, a magid shir, whoever it is that speaks to you. Obviously, I don't mean the people here, because you're here on shir. I always feel bad. People don't know how exciting it is. They don't know how ennobling it is. They don't know how amazing it is. They don't know the depths of Torah. They don't know the secrets that are in every word of Torah. I feel bad. I almost feel bad. In the Mr. Irving Boone biography, he once went collecting with Aaron Kotler to a very wealthy gavir. And the gavir really insulted Rav Kotler, and he was very rude to him, and he gave him a very, very small check. And Mr. Irving Boone was so upset, we came all the way here, and this is how he treated you. And he gave well below his means. And Rav Aaron Kotler said to Mr. Irving Boone, don't feel bad for me. I feel bad for him. He does not have the opportunity for me. Hashem will provide us. Whoever is meant to support the Kotler of the lake with the yeshiva, we're going to get it. You should feel bad for him. It's in the biography, I don't remember which page, that he does not have the opportunity to uphold the Torah. So let's not feel bad for ourselves. Let's not turn around. How long are we here for anyway? 70 years, says David HaMelech, Kapitel Tzadi. If we're really strong, 80 years? Let's not turn around. And Rachman al-Tzlan, it might be too late, and say, wow, why wasn't I growing when I could have grown? Because now I can't anymore. Let that not be us. There are two factors, two blocks. Remember the two men, one walked each, and one walked east, and one walked west. There are two separate factors that prevent us from striving to grow higher in Torah. One, we do not reinforce our appreciation for Torah, and negative effects in the environment will always strive to bring us down. And two, there is the mental erosion of forgetfulness. We saw this in the Bartanura, which weakens what we already have. If we're not using the brain that Hashem gave us, we're going to forget. And therefore, we're in effect moving away from our Torah heritage. That's one block. And the second is that which we have acquired tends to fade. It's like a muscle. If you don't use your muscles, they're going to atrophy. Oh, actually, he says that here. He's going to say that. If you don't use your muscle, it atrophies. If you don't use your mind for Torah learning, it becomes stale, Rachman al-Tzan, and we will lose what we have already gained. Our Torah tells us, he who does not study Torah, continues the Mishnah, deserves death. Udala yaleif kitala chayav. If you don't study Torah at all, you deserve death, says Mr. Irving Bunim. Our Torah tells us that there is a purpose in this world. What is the purpose in this world? V'higisa bayaman v'layla. Well, yamush sefer, Torah zos mipicha. I said the pasuk backwards. The goal of man is to study and observe Torah, and in this way, we are always growing in spirituality. Again, I heard Rabbi Zev Lefshtita say the escalator mashal. So if Rabbi Zev Lef could give it over, it's a good mashal. This is the purpose for which man was created, says Mr. Irving. There are two paths in front of us, and we're always making choices. What do we want to be involved in? What do we want to be growing in? What is our path? Are we climbing the mountain, or are we going down? Should he therefore cease to learn? How could the Mishnah say he who does not learn deserves death? What does that mean? So that's what Mr. Irving Bunim is explaining now. If you don't learn, you deserve death. What does that mean? If the whole, raison d'etre, if I can't say some of the words in English, I'm saying it okay? Oh, I see my mother-in-law here. Hi, Ima. Welcome to my mother-in-law. I didn't notice her before. Thank you for joining us. So chashuv, since Vivian Mermelstein sponsored a few weeks ago, so now my mother-in-law, Baruch Hashem, is joining us every Thursday evening. A big honor and a pleasure. Did I say right? Raison d'etre. So if the purpose of man's life is limud Torah, that's whole purpose, that's why we're here, and asiyas mitzvos, and we're not doing that, so of course we're chayim misa. Oh, raison d'etre. Sorry. If we're not learning, if we're not fulfilling the purpose for which we are here, we're chayav misa, because we're not fulfilling the purpose of life. There seems to be, continues Mr. Irving Bunim, a general tendency in nature to withdraw or remove that which is not being used as intended. You know, it's absolutely fascinating. I'll tell you something amazing. I didn't even think of this when I was preparing for share, but I'm thinking of it now. Excuse me, I remember in my studies learning, my degree is really in audiology. I have a bachelor's in speech and hearing and a master's degree in audiology. I did very, very well. And I think my professors couldn't figure out what happened to me after I went through the whole program and did very well. Accent program, Brooklyn College. Hey, Hashem had different plans for me. But I remember learning, this is really interesting. This applies to what we're learning. Why is a cochlear implant successful with intense therapy when it's implanted into a very young child? The earlier, the better. But in an older adult who is deaf their whole life, who never had auditory stimulation, so the cochlear implant will not be as successful at all. And in fact, he may never be able to really rely on hearing through the cochlear implant, and he may remain functionally deaf, whereas a young child who is implanted at a very young age, 0 to 3, the earlier the better, will be very successful with proper therapy and training. The reason is because the brain has an auditory cortex. There's a region in the brain known as the auditory cortex, which has to interpret the sound that comes up. So when you hear, it goes through your outer ear, past the eardrum, to the three bones, through the oval window, into the inner ear, into the cochlea, stimulates the auditory nerves, and then what happens to the sound? You need somewhere to interpret the sound. Goes up to the auditory cortex, which interprets it as sound. If an adult who has lived many decades has never had sound stimulation at all, and now you put in a cochlear implant, it's not that the implant doesn't work. Why is it not successful? Because the auditory cortex, it's fascinating scientifically, no longer functions as an auditory cortex. It is not a region to interpret sound anymore. There's nowhere in their brain left to interpret sound. It was never used. They're 40, they're 50, they're 60. There was never auditory stimulation, so the cochlear implant works. And the auditory nerve might even work, but there is no region to interpret the sound. So when they present sound, when they do brain imaging studies on patients with cochlear implants and they introduce sound, there's no region in the brain. Isn't that amazing how plastic, how flaccid the brain is that can adapt? It becomes a vision center, it becomes part of the olfactory sense, it becomes reading. There's nowhere to interpret sound. Why? It hasn't been used. It atrophies. If we don't use our kochos for limud haTorah, we're not going to remain at the level we're on. We're going to fall back. Muscles that are not exercised tend to atrophy. Teeth that are not used tend to decay. Perhaps this characteristic extends to existence itself. The man who does not exercise his capacities, which are distinctive of human existence, his potential for spiritual growth, that's the whole reason we're here, runs the risk of having his very existence terminated. Torah is life. And not only, concludes Mr. Irving Bunim, is it life for ourselves, but it's life for others, like the song Fush. And now I'm going back to how he started to bring the show full circle to relate to the story told in Massachusetts. Not only, he says, for ourselves, but he who does not teach deserves to die. Torah is life, and we must share what we know with others. We must make sure that the song of Torah that we sing will be heard around the world and through the generations. And to deprive ourselves and others of Torah is to deprive ourselves and others of life itself. Hence, if we refuse to grow, in a sense, one is chayav misa, because by definition, there is no purpose to his life. When can I learn Chachmas Yevanish, says Ben Dama to his uncle Rabbi Yishmael? If you could find me a day that's not time, that's not day and not night, Ashi says Davar Shalohaya Ba'olam, then you can go learn Chachmas Yevanish. But otherwise, Bo Yamush Sefer is Torah Zos Mipicha, Vigisa Bo Yamam Balaida. So one who does not increase will regress. One who does not study is chayav misa by definition. The Rabban Shalom should always give us the kochos to want to grow, to want to climb the mountain, to be excited by the Torah that we're learning, to recognize kihem chayenu v'orach yameinu v'ahem nega yomam v'layla. We wish Alice Marks and her family a very wonderful, hearty mazel tov on the bar mitzvah of your grandson, Alice Amiel Dov. And I really do think this year was very appropriate Again, not knowing when you take the sponsorship for a bar mitzvah boy, because Be'ezras Hashem, you should be zochet to see nachas, Torah dik nachas from him and your whole family. I thank everyone for taking the time to learn with me. I wish you a wonderful Shabbos and only besuras tovos. Thank you so much.